Well, welcome to the Moral and Ethical Leadership Podcast. I'm Dave Austin, and part of the mission of the BYU Management Society Salt Lake Chapter is to provide scholarships to service-oriented high school seniors. Each year, approximately 50 deserving students are awarded scholarships to local colleges and trade schools. If your family or business would like to join in providing scholarships to these future leaders by sponsoring a podcast, please contact us at byupodcast.slc@gmail.com, and we'd love to contact you. And each time we do one of these interviews, I am so excited for the opportunity. I feel like I learn more than anybody by the virtue of the chance to listen to each of our amazing guests. And today is certainly no exception. Except there's one big difference today, and that is that instead of just boring old me asking the questions, since Kurt is speaking on a cruise, I'm being joined by not only the current governor of our great state, but also a former podcast host, the one and only Governor Spencer Cox. And in addition, we have the venerable opportunity to ask questions to the other one and only president of the University of Utah, Taylor Randall. Gentlemen, wow, what an honor. And thank you for being here.
Thank you for allowing me.
We're excited. It feels like the beginning of a joke here.
But yeah, I'll let the governor take the first swat at that. And then I think I've got a one-liner after he finishes.
it's just the idea that a cougar, a ute, and an Aggie would be doing a podcast together. There's a joke in there somewhere.
There's got to be. Yeah, I agree. We got to come up with one somehow. So, Governor, I am going to, I feel truly honored. And just when I'm going to let you start off with the first question, I know from experience that you're a whole lot better at this podcast thing than I'll ever be. So,
well, that's not true, but thank you. It's great to be back on the podcast with you, Dave, and I've been a huge fan of President Randall for a long time. And let's just start with an introduction, President. We want the listeners to know about you. Who is President Randall?
Well, thanks for that, and I don't want to go through a long personal history, but let me just say I was born to two people that are the most opposite Utahns you could ever find. My mother was the daughter of a cattle rancher from St. George. My father was the son of a University of Utah academic. And somewhere in there, I came out of that whole thing. My mother had me wearing cowboy boots and irrigating and kicking cows in the summer. My father, in sixth grade, decided I should learn calculus. Who teaches their sixth grader calculus? I remember sitting in his class at the University of Utah wearing OP shorts and cowboy boots, and at that point I knew I had to make a choice. Am I going to be an academic or am I going to be a farmer? And I guess I chose academic, and the rest is history.
Oh, that's awesome. You know, I'm curious, as we're sitting here with, as we kind of joked, Cougar, Ute, and Aggie, if BYU and Utah State were playing, who would you cheer for?
If BYU and Utah State
were... Just kidding,
were,
you don't have to answer that.
You know, I appreciate that. That may have been the most political question I've ever been asked.
I actually did want to know...
I'd wear blue to the game, though.
Politician.
How do you unify people at such a time of dissension right now?
You know what? This is one of the craziest moments in history I think we will live through. And Utah's known for social capital. And what I've asked my entire university to do is think about how do we build social capital. And quite honestly, it doesn't necessarily happen with speeches. It happens getting together. I think one of the biggest problems we have right now with this pandemic is we do not see each other face to face nearly enough. And whether you got to have a mask on or not, we should be getting together, looking each other eye to eye, embracing each other. We should be talking about issues and frankly just having a lot more fun together. I think we've lost that.
That's interesting. I'm reading David Brooks' book, The Second Mountain. I can't remember the subtitle, like A Guide to a Moral Life or something. It's interesting. This was pre-pandemic when he wrote this book, actually just before the pandemic. And he talks about how when we become more affluent and successful and we're focused on ourselves, that we build bigger houses with bigger yards to keep us away from people. But in times of tragedy, we bond together. The most cruel thing about this tragedy, this pandemic, this crisis, is it's the only type of crisis where you're forced apart. And I think mentally we need that. And I appreciate you saying that. We do need to become together. We've lost that thread. And at a time when we were losing the thread already, unfortunately, and more polarized.
I agree. It magnified it.
So I want, though, I've been watching you very closely, President. We've worked together for a long time. I'm really interested. This is, you know, we're talking here about moral and ethical leadership. I'm interested in your. I've seen your leadership style, and we're seeing it every day. But can you talk more about how you lead at the university level and in life?
You know, I think there's only one organization more unwieldy than mine, and that's the state of Utah. So, Governor, I'm watching you a lot. I'm just going to tell you, I'm telling you that. But I think page one is listen with empathy. We all manage a set of individuals with hugely different backgrounds than ourselves. This state is becoming much more diverse. I think if you were to look at the University of Utah, it leads in that demographic. And so what you realize is you have to sit down and you first have to walk in with no assumptions and understand where people are coming from. And then the second thing is you have to be able to strike productive compromises. And that doesn't necessarily mean just give in on everything. But once you've listened enough, I think you find ways where both sides can move together, forward together. And then finally, you got to act with some courage, and you've got to say, all right, this isn't exactly where I thought I'd be coming into this discussion, but we're now going to lock arms and we're going to move together. We do that every day at the University of Utah. It's sometimes tiring, but when it works out, it's pretty exhilarating.
And you talked about seeing another person. How do you do that, whether you're a Cougar, a Ute, an Aggie, whatever? How do you see someone else? And my follow-up question is, the pandemic has certainly divided us politically. How much of a role should empathy play in all of this?
Yeah, I think that to me is like the big question I have for myself every day. How do you get someone to see somebody else's point of view and maybe come together a little bit in the middle? It gets to back to, I think we were just talking at the first, you got to spend time with people. You got to want to have a productive relationship with someone. You may have noticed in the news we're struggling with racial tensions on campus. And, you know, I was just this morning before I came here meeting with leaders of our Black Cultural Center, and we all agreed that we've got to build social equity with each other. And what that means practically is we need to eat together. We need to socialize together. We need to do and go to games together. And none of that has to do with the issues we're dealing with. It just means we've got to get to know each other.
That's powerful. My wife talks about getting proximate and how important that is. Brian Stevenson, the author, shares that's the secret to all these problems. It does feel like we've taken some steps backward, especially in the area of race. I know you've been dealing with that. Can you talk more about what you've learned over your first 5 months as president? You've had some. There was the bomb threat this week against the Black Cultural Center on campus. You had the tragic death of Aaron Lowe, and the way that impacted the football team, and we saw the way that they came together and an incredible Rose Bowl that didn't turn out exactly the way you wanted, but it was still exhilarating and amazing, and I know you spent time there. So share with the listeners some of those experiences and what you've learned and how you've handled those.
Yeah, well, the first thing I learned is my tape of the Rose Bowl cut off 2 minutes early. And so I was like, we won the game.
Won.
Where, what was I doing? Oh, my gosh, this was fantastic. Anyway, you know, this is going to sound funny, but with what we're dealing with now, I got to watch firsthand the leadership of our athletic department from Mark Harlan down to Kyle Whittingham to the assistant coaches, Sharif Shah, Morgan Scally, to some of the crisis counselors that work with the team. And, you know, they wanted me in the room, but I also just got a chance to listen. And what a playbook, right? They know a lot more than just football, right? This was the second tragedy they had dealt with. And they knew they first had to allow people to express feelings and express frustration. And then they have some remarkable team leaders from Devin Lloyd to Britton Covey, you know, on down, who stood up and began to make statements about what they were going to do with this moment. And the leadership came from the ground level. And I watched the coaches let that happen and let the ideas come from the people. And then when they saw those ideas take hold, they allowed them to move, right? And the team was unified when they went down to Texas for that funeral, and they wrapped their arms around each other, and you could tell that this was now actually motivating them and not defeating them. And so I think about what I observe there every day, and I say, how can I take that moment and multiply it now across campus as we go through this? And I think we will have leaders emerge, and my job will be to support them, and they will begin to do the work of healing.
That's awesome. Thank you both so much. If there's anything either one of you would like to say, I'll let you have the last word. Thank you so much for being here.
Yeah. Well, I just want to know what the governor did with his red T-shirt after we got out of the game. I mean, I'm hoping it's not in the rag pile and being used to clean the floors, but I do want to tell him I'd be happy to go to a Utah State game, and I might even wear a hat with you.
Well, we might have to go to a BYU game together. That will show real solidarity.
Oh my gosh, that would be something. No cameras on that one.
I will say to my Aggie friends out there who may or may not be listening to this podcast that I did go to the Rose Bowl with the president. It was an incredible game. I went to the bookstore at the University of Utah. I didn't even get like a discount. I didn't even get the Crimson Club
horrible.
The Crimson Club discount. Like I paid full price. I have enough Ute gear now to last me forever, and I've only worn it once. So we'll see if it turns out, you know, once worn on eBay or something that way. But no, we're keeping it. My wife loved it. They look great, and we plan on being to more games together with you.
Well, all I can say is I knew that was a sacrifice, so thank you for coming down and supporting us. And for you Aggie fans, he is still true blue.
Well, Dave, it was a great example of proximity and empathy coming together and learning about each other and not hating each other.
Compromise. Holy cow.
Here we go.
I have to say, my mom went to BYU, my dad went to BYU, I went to BYU, my wife did, my two older kids, BYU. And our son, in fact, in 45 minutes, is signing to run at Utah State, which is where I'm going to be running to after this. And so
go
we're
Aggies.
Branching out as well. So.
We love it.
Thank you again very much. Thank you to all of our listeners. We'll be back again next month with another episode of our Moral and Ethical Leadership Podcast. Have a great week.